Good morning and Merry Christmas to you all. Let's have our Bible open at Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. That is page 933. Once again, Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, and page 933. A promised ruler from Bethlehem. Marshal your troops, O city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. They will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor gives birth, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Deliverance and destruction. When the Assyrian invades our land and marches through our fortresses, we will raise against him seven shepherds, even eight leaders of men. They will rule the land of Assyria with a sword, the land of Nimrod with drawn sword. He will deliver us from the Assyrian when he invades our land and marches into our borders. Amen.
Thank you. Micah 5. 2 to 5 is usually the reading that comes up every Christmas, Christmas after Christmas. You get that reading. One reason is it's quoted by Matthew in conversation between King Herod and, or Herod the Great as he was, his advisors and the wise men, the magi, however many there were of them. And Matthew quotes from that, and he says that you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. That's what Matthew says, he's quoting. But if you read Micah, it says, but you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times. So as we can see, there are differences. Matthew, if you look at a lot of his quotes from the Old Testament, yes, they're there, but they're not always identical. He adds bits in, leaves bits out. First of all, the very noticeable one is that we have in Matthew, the land of Judah, in Micah, Ephrathah. Most of the time when this reading comes up, I sit there and think, I wonder how the person's going to pronounce that word. And just because I pronounce it that way doesn't make it right. Land of Judah is a lot simpler, I find. But we'll come on to why that difference? Is there a difference? Matthew has in it, no means least among the rulers of Judah. Micah has small among the clans of Judah. Is that just a stylistic difference? They mean the same thing. Judah was a nothing, or Bethlehem was a nothing place in Judah. Also said Matthew has a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Micah just has ruler over Israel. Nothing about a shepherd in there at all. Why the difference? And Micah has that bit right at the end that Matthew's left out completely. Whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. So what about this distinction to start off with between Bethlehem, Ephrathah, and Bethlehem, in the land of Judah. Jesus had to be born in this place, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, for the prophecy to work. If he wasn't, then the prophecy didn't work. Does that mean he was from Judah? Well, we have to go back to one of the ancestors, right back to even one of David's ancestors, because that's why it's important that the line of Jesus goes through David. And what we read in the book of Ruth, who was an ancestor of David, the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem." It seems as if it's a bit like if people say to me, "Can you give me the address of Ashurst Drive Baptist Church?" And I go, "Yeah, Ashurst Drive Baptist Church, Ashurst Drive." And they usually ask me to spell Ashurst both times. I don't know why, but they do. And then I say, "Gants Hill, Ilford, IG2, 6QH. And they go, "6. I go, "Q for Quebec, H for hotel." But sometimes when I'm writing it, I can't be bothered to do all that. I go, "Ashurst Drive Baptist Church, Ashurst Drive, Ilford, IG26Q. And I know it's still going to get to us. Because sometimes we include the whole of our address and sometimes pray. And it seems as if Bethlehem was in Ephrathah. It was a subset of it. So Matthew decides to leave that bit out. That's one of the things that fascinates me about this passage. Another one occurs later. If you look at verse 6, it says, "They will rule the land of Assyria and with the sword, the land of Nimrod with drawn sword. He will deliver us from the Assyrians when he invades our land and marches into our borders." Immediately I think about this bit of music when I hear the name Nimrod. Anybody know what it is? Sorry? Elgar, yes, it's Elgar, but actually this isn't Elgar. This is Mr. Augustus J. Jaeger. And in German, Jaeger stands for hunter. And we have in Genesis, you have to go right the way back there, the sons of Ham. He was one of the sons of Noah. He had those sons, Cush, Miriam, Per, and Cana. Sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, and so on. You can read through, get people to go through, and it says Nimrod. Cush was the father of Nimrod, who grew up to be a mighty warrior on the earth. He was a mighty hunter. Jaeger meant hunter. Elgar dedicated this piece of music to him and so called it Nimrod. But that's not why he's in this verse. He's actually in the verse because he developed 5 centers, one of them being Babylon. And Babylon was Assyria. And therefore that was where the name came from. Elgar meant it as a huge compliment, but in actual fact, for us, Nimrod the name is Babylon, who are said to be the enemies of Israel and also to be against God. So that's where the Nimrod in chapter 5 verse 6 comes from. Prediction was made that Assyria, that Babylon would fall, and it did. As I've said, Babylon was always against God. But then we too have somebody or know somebody who's always against God, and that's the devil, Satan. He manipulated Adam and Eve into eating what they'd been asked not to. That kept them in the clutches of Satan and all their offspring. as they all sinned. They were his slaves. But with Jesus, that sure and certain hope, that when we come to him, those clutches of Satan fall off, and that Jesus holds us gently and supports us. So we're going to look at this prophecy. Is it to do with Jesus? Is it to do with then? What effect does it have today? Some good questions. I said that Bethlehem, it says in there that it was small among them. And where it is small among them. But it is still an important city. In fact, it was so small that if you read through the book of Joshua towards the end, they're piling out the land. And he gives to this tribe this number of cities, this number of towns. Bethlehem isn't even mentioned. That's how insignificant Bethlehem was at that time. But now it is. And David's stock came from them, and so therefore was there. Now you may be wondering why I'm putting up a picture of Donald Trump. Anybody know who the other guy is? Yes, right, Benjamin Netanyahu. And remember what happened earlier? You know, Mr. Trump said, Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel, in his usual style. And then on Thursday, of course, the UN went, oh, no, it's not. So now we're all waiting for Donald Trump to come back and say, oh, yes, it is. And they'll go, oh, no, it's not. Because it said, we have one who is ruler over Israel. Now, who rules Israel? Benjamin Netanyahu? Him? Benjamin? Or is it Donald? Or the UN? It seems that nobody rules Israel. But that could be because we're thinking about Israel in the wrong sense. I could be looking out, or I am looking out, the new Israel. The followers of Christ are the new Israel. And we are told in the book of Colossians, the letter to the church, that Jesus is the head of the body, the church, beginning and the firstborn among the dead, so that in everything you might have supremacy. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the new Jerusalem. He is our head. Yes, he was born a human being. Says that in verse 3 in Micah. Talks about there when she who is in labour gives birth. Now, it could have been somebody in the near future or somebody in the far future. And I think it's to do with Mary and the birth of Jesus. So, Micah then goes on to describe that new life. That ruler, though, as being a shepherd. As being a shepherd. He will stand, it says in verse 4, and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. Perhaps this is where Matthew, and that's the Matthew version, got his idea about the ruler being the shepherd of my people. Because it is there in the passage. Matthew just left some bits out and put some bits together. But then Jesus also said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He's here to look after his flock. Later on in that conversation, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, and they know my voice. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Many people say that was talking about the non-Jews. I have other sheep. That's us, non-Jews. I am not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus knows all who follow him, and they know him. What comfort that is. Jesus is the good, the great shepherd. And that brings security. That's the title of the sermon this morning. Secure, secure. Verse 4 says, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. They will live securely because of Jesus. Jesus did go to the cross, we know, and it looked as if Satan has won, the enemy. But then God raised him from the dead, and he rules with the Father on high. And we have this glorious passage in Philippians that our attitude should be same as Christ. And what was that? Being in the very nature God. Did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the humble likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, Jesus died, but then he was raised to a point of greatness. He's the ruler over all things. He's the ruler of all. That is our Jesus. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd. He is the majestic one. The one that gives security. The great one. The one from eternity to eternity. An everlasting God. The one who can save. Even the armies of Satan cannot conquer Jesus. We have that security. And what does that security bring? It means that we know where we're going. Security here does not mean charmed lives. But it means that we're with God now and we'll be with God into the future. Interestingly, we stopped at verse 6 of Micah chapter 5. If we go into verse 7, it says, the remnant of Jacob will be in the midst of many peoples, like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass, which do not wait for man or linger for mankind. The remnant of Jacob will be among the nations, in the midst of many peoples, like a lion among the beasts of the fields, forest, like a young lion among flocks of sheep, which mauls and mangles as it goes, and no one can rescue. Your hand will be lifted up in triumph over your enemies, and all your foes will be destroyed. As I read that, I thought, the worldwide church is the remnant among many peoples. The church worldwide is among virtually every nation on this earth. One day, though, Jesus will come again. His hand will be lifted up in triumph, says there in verse 9, and our enemies and all foes will be destroyed. How secure is that? We have that security. We have a few verses here that show us so much about the Saviour we love and we follow and to whom we give our lives. It's often one of those that is just skirted over around Christmas. It's been good, for me anyway, to look at it a bit more. But we thank God for that security. We praise him for being secure. So maybe as we hear Micah 5:2 to 5 in the future. We can think about what those verses mean as well as Jesus in Bethlehem.